Good evening to each one. We do bring you Christian greetings in the name of Jesus this evening. It is good to be here at Calvary tonight. I feel like I look over the audience and I'll recognize a lot of youth. But so it's probably high time for me to be here. And probably not. Maybe you don't know who I am. I'm Kevin Rife, and Kevin and Dorcas Rife. My wife's name is Dorcas, and I do have a sister here. I'll say that if you know who Jason and Sharon are. Sharon is my sister, so if you ever made that connection or not. So anyway, did appreciate the songs and the devotions, and like our brother, the question he asks, how is our heart tonight? How is your heart? Is it hard? Is it stony? Is it full of thistles? Or is it soft and cultivated? And as you receive the seed, it's taking root and it's planted and it's growing and producing fruit. And that is the call of the Christian tonight. It really is. We need to be connected to our Lord Jesus. Appreciated that. For a message tonight, as it was announced, let each esteem other better than themselves. What are we talking about tonight? What are we going to talk about? What is going through your mind tonight when you think about esteeming someone else? Esteeming others better than ourselves. What are we talking about? Is this thought found in the Bible? Is this sermon title found in the Bible? Well, it is. You can turn with me to Philippians 2. That phrase is found in Philippians. It was Paul. He was writing to the Philippians. And we'll talk a little bit about that. And I like to read. I'll read Philippians 2. Maybe 1 to 4. And then we'll read a little more then a little later on. Philippians 2. And listen carefully. These are some powerful words here. Very loaded verses for each one of us. Verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being in one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Here we are. Here's our phrase. Here's our title. Let each esteem other better than ourselves. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. Like our brother has mentioned, it comes pretty close home to us all, this subject tonight. Maybe a little, it's practical. And I try to seek your interest in your prayers as we go through this message. This message is dear to my heart. This subject is. But the question is, I like to raise, what are we talking about? Now, the word esteem stood out to me, and it probably did you as well, as you think of this title. What are we saying? What are we talking about? Esteeming. What does it mean? Well, the meaning of the word esteem is, in the Webster's, it was the degree of respect or liking. One has something or someone, or having a favorable opinion. Or to think very highly or favorably of. So we kind of get grasps a little bit of a picture what this word esteem means. We are to think highly of someone. We are to lift someone up. Then who? Well, ourselves. Then ourselves. Esteeming. To think really highly of someone. Have a favorable opinion about someone in a positive manner. We are to think highly of someone more than ourselves. And that it needs to be, I believe, anyone, but I'm going to bring it down tonight. And I think that's where the Apostle Paul was addressing here to the Philippians, to the Philippian church, to brothers and sisters in the Lord, our brethren and sisters, that brother beside you, the sister beside you. Tonight we are to think highly of them, more than ourselves. Our brother and sister that I go to church with, or wherever that I work beside. Maybe it's my fellow team labor. Maybe it's whatever. I need to think highly of them. I need to esteem them more than myself. That's what he's saying here. Well, let's back up a little bit here. We just got done reading some verses about real unity in the brotherhood. These are loaded verses for us as Christians to live out. That all believers should live out, all ages. There's no exceptions here. If you're a born-again believer, these are calling for you and for me tonight. And live out what these verses say. And if these verses are lived out, how would that affect church life here at Calvary? Anyway, I was going to say I'm from Heppern Street. If you've ever been there, come visit us. Or how would it affect church life at Heppern Street if we have brothers and sisters that are like-minded? It will affect our relationships, our brother relationships. I know it will. Church life. Verse 2, it talks about fulfilling my joy. It talks about being like-minded, having the same love for each other, being one accord, a one mind. And when I read these verses, it sounds like unity. To me, it sounds like togetherness. It sounds like pulling together. It sounds like having the same goal in mind, reaching for the same goal, striving together in oneness, in togetherness. Striving to reach the same destination. And I believe tonight that is our eternal home in heaven. Isn't that why we're here tonight? And is that why you're part of the Calvary congregation? Like-minded brothers and sisters, armed together. Walking together, encouraging each other together, esteeming each other as we walk our homeward journey. Togetherness, harmony. I can't stress that enough this morning or tonight. Because we know we're going to talk about that a little later, but we're not going to find it out in a world. The world's in a chaotic mess. It's not this subject tonight. And I'll touch on that a little later. But the question is, how can we get a body of believers to come together in the spirit of unity? And come to one mind. And experience joy and one accord and one mind and pulling together. Having that love for one another. Our brother mentioned that in the devotions. How can we accomplish this? Well, verse 3, there's one thing that's going to have to go. Is And that will destroy relationships. It will destroy unity in the church. Verse 3 talks about strife, vainglory. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others better than ourselves. So tonight, vainglory, strife, it's not part of the body of believers tonight. It shouldn't be a part. So many times it is. It's got to go. It's the opposite of unity. It's the opposite of pulling together. I had to think of the verses there in James 3. Talks about bittering, envying, and strife in your hearts. Glory not. I always like the book of James because he's so practical and just lays it out how it's once it said. He said, this wisdom is not from above, but it's earthly, sensual, and devilish. Where there's envying and strife, there's confusion of every evil work. Get the picture tonight. This attitude, brothers and sisters, destroys brotherhood. It destroys unity. And that's what the devil wants tonight. If he can get his foot into the door and destroy unity, he has a hand on us. And he wants to tear us apart. And he's successful doing it. We know he is. If we allow him to come in and among us and destroy the togetherness, the unity, and working together, the esteeming each other better than ourselves. This attitude destroys. If we enjoy strife, argument, sometimes we meet people that just seem like they just get a kick out of that. I'm not that type of person. I don't enjoy arguing over something, but some people just enjoy just, and there's a pie, a place for it. But we just kind of get a kick out of just staring soup all the time, or you know what I mean? Just kind of argumentative. Just always want to disagree, just for maybe make discussion. I don't know. Let's be careful. Or if we think we are someone, or we have that better than thou attitude. And sometimes it's easy for us to do. We just think we're pretty good. We just got it figured out. And we just walk around with a little bit of a notch above, a chip on our shoulders, and we think we are someone, you know. You know, do you notice what I'm doing and what I'm accomplishing and as I work labor in the church? Because it's such a good thing, you know. And it is a good thing. I'm not saying that. But when there's a chip on our shoulder, it doesn't go down very well. James said this is not from above. This is earthly, sensual. Going back to Philippians 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Vainglory meaning, what does vainglory mean? Too much pride, especially in what one has done. Let nothing be done in vainglory. What needs or how we are to live our lives is the complete opposite. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Did you catch that? Not strife, not vainglory, not thinking well of ourselves, not lifting ourselves up, but through lowliness of mind. Lowliness of mind. The spirit of humility. The lowliness of mind. Let each regard the others as better than superior to himself. I think that was the amplified. To regard others as better than myself. Think more highly of another than you do yourself. And tonight, that is a tremendous calling for you and I to live our lives. I think it is. Do you think that my brother is better than I am? Do you think that I'm going to exalt him over me? That's what I'm reading. That's what I'm studying. That's what I'm reading here. To lift my brother up with love and respect. That is the calling here. That is what we are to be doing. Well, this morning or tonight, the question is, how is this done? How is this done? How do I lift my brother up with love and respect? Especially when he kind of grates me sometimes. Or sometimes he just rubs me the wrong way. Or sometimes it just seems like life is just clicking for him. Or sometimes it just feels like his business just goes for him. It just feels like he never struggles financially. And it just seems like he just has every gift you could give him. And he can go up front here and teach the Sunday school class without sweating. And I'm there. How do I exalt? Think well of my brother. Lift him up with love and respect. Because this type of living just does not happen. It just doesn't happen automatically. Why doesn't it? How can I just practically live out these verses without putting a lot of energy into them? Well, it's because tonight we have a carnal nature within us. We have a carnal nature within us. We are born with a nature that it's all about me, myself, and I. It's about pushing myself up. And it's about thinking well of myself. This morning, or tonight, we're born with that nature. We see it all around us in our world today. You know what I can accomplish? And you know, it doesn't take long for people to talk well of what they are doing and what they can do and what they have done. And it comes here. It's us, you and I, this tonight. Because we have a carnal nature within us. And we see it in our children. It doesn't take long, they're very old. It's me. I know what I want. I'll get the last cookie. Or I'll eat the last bit of candy. It's mine. I'm not going to worry about my brothers and sisters. But if I get the second piece, or the biggest piece of pie, or whatever. It doesn't take long. That nature is pretty strong in our children. That's why we as parents need to curve and train and get that taken care of. Because it's a nature within them. But tonight, we all sitting here tonight have a nature that we want to think well of ourselves. More than my brother. More than my brother. So tonight it's about pushing myself up. It's about doing things so I can get compliment, so I get noticed, so I'm being noticed and talked about. It's about thinking well of myself, thinking that I'm pretty good. It's about looking down on my brother because of who he is and what he does. And sometimes it comes in church life, you know, we think that, you know, we're Kevin Wright draws this line. That's where everyone should draw their line. And I look down across him and see my brother so-and-so. He doesn't draw the line where I think he should. So I tend to look down on him because he don't have convictions like I have, or he is not as spiritual as I am. So I have a tendency of looking down on my brother because I feel like he doesn't draw the straight and narrow line like I do. Would be just as spiritual as I am. If you read his Bible as often as I read mine, if he wouldn't have so many, probably wouldn't have so many problems in his life. Well, we could go on and on talking. You know how our minds run. You know how our attitudes run sometimes. You know how our thoughts go. Tonight we all have a nature to look down on someone and think we are better. So many times we look down on someone and we just think we're just a little better. I think so many times we as Christians live our lives. This is pretty strong to so we make a good impression of others, or to we do it to please ourselves. Maybe we're only concerned for ourselves. And I read somewhere this brings disunity. This seeds of discord are sown. Hope that's not the case here. But it's so easy to kind of go through life and just think well of ourselves and what have I accomplished, and where I'm only concerned about myself, me, myself, and I. I believe Paul was stressing to the Philippians here to love one another, to work together with one heart and purpose, being a one of corn, one mind. And I believe this morning or tonight, when working together, caring for problems of others as if they were our own, we demonstrate Christ's example of putting others first. Do I care about my brother, my sister, when they fail spiritually? Or am I going around and, hey, did you hear so-and-so? Oh, they're just not. Do I really care about my brothers, my sister? I believe this tonight, if we're in the spirit of unity and have a caring heart and love for each other, we will care. Working together, caring for problems of others as if they were own, demonstrate Christ's example of putting others first. And tonight, what amazing things can happen when we have a working attitude of putting our brother first or esteeming him better than ourselves. I think that's what Paul was driving here. When we have that working attitude, I'm lifting my brother or my sister up. And when that is done, brotherhood becomes a strong body of believers are working together. And tonight, the power of unity is amazing. When there's a unified brotherhood of working and striving together with one goal in mind, a common goal in mind, a working together. It's amazing what can get done, what can get accomplished. And it's beautiful. The power of unity tonight in a brotherhood is beautiful. Where else are you going to find it? It's not going to find it out here in the world today because it's nothing but unity out there. But it's unity and it's beautiful when there's brothers and sisters that are united together. First of all, having a love for their Lord and serving him with all their might. And it will affect how we relate to each other. And we will practice this, esteeming each other better than ourselves. It's so beautiful. It will speak to the community. It'll speak to our neighbors. When they see powerful brothers and sisters striving together. Maybe I'm shooting too high of a goalistic tonight. But I believe tonight it's something that we're losing in our, it's lost in our world, in our, what about our churches? What about in our brotherhood? Well, tonight, this esteeming thing just doesn't happen. Like I said, it is lost in our world. In our world, we see the attitude, it's about me. It's about the big me. It's about what I want and what I deserve. I can get it and I will get it. I want to do what I want. I will get what I want. I will do what I feel like doing and what my heart's desire is. and what my flesh craves after, I will do. I will spend all this money on myself because I deserved it and I worked for it. And the list can go on and on. Get the attitude this morning or tonight. That's out in the world. It's in the world we live. It's strong, but sad to say, it's right here this morning. Tonight. So often it's right here in your brotherhood. Maybe not here at Calvary, I hope it's not. But sad to say, it's in our brotherhoods, in our churches. When you have this, the big me attitude, the big what I want, the big whatever, when I am not esteeming my brother more than myself, and I'm pushing myself, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness, humbleness, not proud. Get rid of the pride. Brother talked about that. We can't. The seeds in our hearts aren't going to grow if there's a bunch of pride we're hanging on. It's got to go. That has got to go. But in lowliness of mind, looking at my brother in the face and say, I'm going to esteem you better than myself. Another way to tear down and lift ourselves up is when we talk about another brother in a critical way behind his back. It's so easy to do that. So easy to get our friends together, our peer group, and talk about this brother over here. We like to spend some time just unloading about him and saying who he is and what he has done, and we're just critical. And it comes close home to us all. For you know, we're just spending some time in criticism. Is that esteeming? No, it's tearing down. It's tearing down. It's 100% tearing down. Remember, these are our brothers and sisters. It's not esteeming. It's not lifting up. It may be gossip or just saying something bad about them or making fun. Or maybe I mentioned that. And then we wonder why we have to meet this brother Sunday morning. We wonder why there's this wall between us. The golden rule, do unto others as we would have them do unto you, stands true for 2024, brothers and sisters. It really does. All right, second part of the message. We are to esteem others better than ourselves. Maybe I have it twisted. Maybe I should have had this part first. I don't know. We are to esteem others better than ourselves. How is it done, or what does it take order us to do that? And I mentioned earlier in the message that we have a nature within us that it's all about me. And we have a nature that's push ourselves up. I will show you who I am, okay? That's in every one of us, one way or the other. Some of that comes out stronger than others in our personalities, but there's a nature we like to be well thought of and recognized and lifted up. So how can I get this carnal nature taken care of so that I can esteem others better than myself? How does this happen? How does this happen? What is it going to take? Well, we got to keep reading in Philippians chapter 2 here. And that's what we want to do in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which also was in who? Christ Jesus. Tonight, that's the answer. This was Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you, who was also in Christ Jesus. And I'm so thankful tonight that we have the perfect example laid out in front of us. We have the perfect example, our Lord Jesus. Who was Christ Jesus? That perfect example. And I believe tonight the only way we will esteem others better than ourselves is when we have the mind of Christ. Have Christ living in us. Have Christ a part of our lives. Being connected to Jesus Christ. Having Him for our Lord and Savior. Tonight it is the only way I will esteem my brother more than myself. It is the only way tonight. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. Tonight, this isn't Kevin Reif's ideas or the committee's ideas. This is the standard tonight of esteeming others better than ourselves. We have to pattern our life after our Lord Jesus. He's the one that set the example. And He lived His life this way. As you read the life of Christ through the Gospels, that was the way Jesus lived His life. So tonight, let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, being connected to Him. Have Jesus come into your hearts and let Him get rid of our old selfish carnal natures. Tonight we're just going to have to let Jesus come in there and just let Him clean house, clean our lives up, get rid of the carnal nature that I think is pretty. We need to go to the foot of the cross and get rid of it. Thank God we can do that. And Jesus can do that for you tonight. If you feel like you're here tonight with a stubborn carnal nature. If you think you're here tonight with a stubborn or a nature that's thinking pretty highly of yourself, here's the answer. Here's the answer. An example on how Jesus lived His life is for us to follow. Pattern our lives after. Esteeming others. That was Jesus' life and how He lived. That's who He was. Verse 6. Who was this man Jesus? Well, we all know who He was. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, or things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God our Father. A lot there in those verses as well. A little bit of a glimpse of our Lord Jesus. Who He was. Who was He? He was God. He was, I like to bring this part of the message because get a little glimpse of who He actually was. He was God. He was equal with God. He was being in the form of God. And He was willing to leave the glories of heaven and come to this sin-cursed world. And how did He come? Did He come with an attitude of... what attitude did He have? Did He stalk around, let everyone know who He is and why He's here? Man of authority? And everyone, you bow down to Me? I am God's Son. I'm here for a mission. I will get this mission accomplished. Now what does verse 7 said? He made Himself of no reputation, but took upon Him a form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. To me, it just speaks of who He was. Became a servant. Left the glories of heaven. Was God. Came down and became a man. A servant. What does that word servant mean? He was willing to serve. Stoop low, meet man's needs. Went from being with God and coming and becoming a servant, a humble servant. You know how he came, born in a family of humble Joseph and Mary, born in a stable. Doesn't that speak of who he was? He lived his life in all humbleness. It wasn't about himself, who he was, trying to show his authority in a authoritative way. Could have. Easily could have. But he stooped as low as he could. That's what it says here. It wasn't all about himself, who he was. His mission was to point men and women to him. Praise God for that. And one of the things he would do, he would esteem others better than himself. We see that in ministry. It was to win the heart of men. He didn't need to do this, but he did it. We looked at that in our Sunday school. It was the will of his Father, so his Father would be glorified. But we see that in his ministry. It was to win the hearts of men. He would take time for people. He would show love and compassion. He would meet the people's needs, the physical, the spiritual needs. He would do great miracles, powerful miracles, to get the people to see what power he had and where his power would come from. 5,000, he fed the 5,000 with a little lunch. He would calm the storm, turn water into wine. I had to think of, you children know the story of Zacchaeus, so I had to think of that story. One day he was traveling into Jericho, and he met a man up in a tree. And who was this man? He was hated by people because he was a tax collector. And one of the things that he would do, he would cheat the people. And so you wonder why he had the reputation that he did. And what is Jesus do when he stops and when he sees this man up in the tree? Yeah, well, you just stay up there. I don't have time for you. You're a cheater and a liar anyway. Now he stopped and told Zacchaeus to come down. Better yet, he said, I'm going to go to your house. Who? Zacchaeus. This little man. The tax collector. You can about hear the people around him. All right, yeah, his place, whatever. Don't you know who this man is? That was the mission. And that day Zacchaeus found Jesus and found him in his heart. That's what was Jesus' mission for. It wasn't about him. It was esteeming others. Helping Zacchaeus find the right way of living. And brothers and sisters, friend, that is our calling of spreading the gospel. Brothers and sisters, there are souls that are at stake. Souls that are heading for eternity. What am I doing? Or do I have that attitude that I'm just a little better than anyone out in our lost world today? Or a struggling brother and sister, do I have time to esteem them better than myself? Well, Jesus lived this life. Another example I had to think of is John 13. We read it twice a year, and we all know what that passage is. I believe Jesus had a lesson for his disciples when he, after supper, took a towel and a basin of water. And what did he do? He stooped down, and he washed his disciples' feet that were so carnal. You ever think about that? These men were, they would argue who's the greatest. They would argue of or they would make commitments. Peter said, I'm not going to deny you. I will never leave you. We have Judas. I guess he was part of that baptism, or the feet washing. Jesus took a towel and he stooped down and he washed his disciples' feet. An example of humility. Esteeming others by themselves. Teaching them a valuable lesson. And it's for us today. When it's feet washing time, it's just something we do twice a year, and so we wash feet. What are we doing? Well, it's not our culture thing. Why do we practice it anyway? I understand that, but there's a valuable lesson in feet washing. When I'm in front of a brother and I'm stooping down at his feet and washing his feet, it's showing that I love him and I want to serve him humility, and I'm going to practice the next 6 months or the rest of his life that I'm willing to stoop low at his feet and esteem him higher than me. It's about servanthood. It's about serving. It's about lifting one another up. Well, this tonight, I got to keep moving here. Well, we know that verse 8, he talks about humbling himself, become obedient unto death, even death of the cross. He was willing to go to the cross and die for the sins of humanity. He was willing to, of who he was, and he was willing to do the will of the Father. And as he there hung there on the cross, it was about, not about himself, but it was about the sins of humanity. Shedding his, giving his life for mankind. And for you and I tonight. He didn't have to do that. But he was willing to give his life for you and I tonight. As he hung there, suffering, bleeding, dying, in travail, and pain, and agony. And he gave up the ghost, and he gave his life. So that you and I could have life. Well, verse 9, it should be worth, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That every name in Jesus, that every name of Jesus, every knee should bow, things of heaven and things of earth. I believe it's going to be a day when every person, every human, every eternal soul is going to have to bow before Jesus. And say who he is. Well, tonight, that's a message in itself. But let this mind be in you as it was in Christ Jesus. This was how Jesus lived his life as an example for us to follow. And that's how we are to esteem others better than ourselves. Do I see the best in my brother? Do I see his good points? And do I go beside him and give him encouragement on his good points? We need to encourage one another. But so often we look at the negative points, the flat spots, where they screw up. You know, did you see what he did there? He kind of like messed up again. We like to think of that. Or he don't agree with me, so I just avoid him. And, you know, it's so easy to do that. I'm speaking to myself. No, we need to focus on, see the best in my brother. That's hard to do sometimes, especially when maybe we just don't see eye to eye or whatever. As brothers and sisters, as we would esteem others better ourselves, how would church life go? I think we'd have pretty good church life, wouldn't you? Blessings of being unified, working together in one accord, in the same mind. We talked about that. When this is done, God will be glorified. God will be glorified. Mark it down. But you know, it's how it goes. But this, you know, I talked about personalities. This brother over here has this personality. I don't see things eye to eye. I believe tonight one of the blessings of brotherhood is that we're all different. And God created us all different. We have all different minds. We think differently. We think, look at life sometimes a little different. It's how God made us. He didn't. We're not all a bunch of wired up robots. No, we have the ability of a mind to think. We have ability of a mind to make choices. And we have ability to draw lines and think through things. And we need to do that. But we need to also remember too, we need to channel our thinking on God's word and build our life on from his word and build our lives from that. But God created us different. We all don't always think the same. But tonight, what's so beautiful about brotherhood is that we can bring our differences together and we blend them together to build each other up. That's beautiful tonight when that is done. It has to be done that way because we will never get everyone thinking 100% alike. But we blend together. And part of the blending process is esteeming others better than ourselves. When we get that straight, I think it'll affect building together. When I have the best in mind for my brother, the best in mind for the church, then we're blessed to be part of the Church of Jesus Christ. I don't know if you count it a blessing or not. But the older I get, I realize how important and a privilege we are tonight to be part of his bride. It's a wonderful thing. And are we telling our children how wonderful it is? Or do we just dwell on the negative things of the church? And you wonder why they're trying to wonder if they should buy into this or not. But tonight is a blessing to be part of brotherhood. I don't know where I would want to be tonight. Except in the body of Christ. The brotherhood. Brothers and sisters, in 2024, in the times we're living in, we need each other more than ever. But I think sometimes we are becoming more independent-minded, and we don't really need each other. Maybe that's not the story here. We like to figure life on our own. We don't like people telling us what to do. We like to... It's about building each other up. It's about esteeming each other out. It's about loving each other, having the best in mind for my brother, for my sister, for the work of the church. Because tonight, like I mentioned, I think in the beginning, the ultimate goal is that you and I make it to Glory Land safely. You know, that should just, I don't know. Do you think about that? Does that move you tonight? That some, as you look around and look at the brother beside you, the sister beside you, do you have a burning desire in your heart that they make it? I hope you do. I hope someday we'll see this audience in Glory Land together. And do we understand tonight that it's going to take working together? It's going to take building each other up. It's going to take esteeming each other up and walking together hand in hand as we walk toward home, looking unto our Savior, Jesus Christ. Tonight I need to bring this to a close. I trust that hopefully we can reburden, reconvict, or whatever you want to call it, our lives tonight, and that we would just esteem ourselves better than ourselves. Let's pray.